Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on 29 punishments from the scripture right after this. Hey, if you're earning $50,000 a year and you pay all of your 14 taxes, you get to keep about 40% of what you create and produce, and the government gets 60. That's right, $20,000 for you and $30,000 for the government. Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you think that your share isn't enough for you, then why don't you go out and work twice as hard and produce twice as much and make $100,000 next year? Then go ahead and pay your same 14 taxes, just like you did this year, and you're going to net about 25%, and the government's going to get 75%, which means that for working twice as hard and producing twice as much, you're going to net $4,000 more. That's about 8% more net take-home pay than you did this year. You work twice as hard, and you get one-tenth as much. Guaranteed by Congress, guaranteed by the IRS. Now, that's why I contend that there ought to be something more intelligent for you and I to do than to work to put ourselves into the top 5% of income earners and then only net 25% of it. Why don't you call today and order our free general law CD package and let me tell you how to deal with that kind of crime. It's 4 hours of entertaining information, and it'll answer many of your legal questions about taxes and why it is that we pay so much for so little received. So let me show you how to do just that in our Tax and Status School, which is now available on compact disc for adult home education. To order your free general law CD package, just call direct and ask for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Or you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. georgegordon.org. All right, last time we talked about the 24 capital crimes, crimes that require the death penalty. But the death penalty isn't the only punishment that God metes out for violation of the law. Violation is typically called sin in religious circles. You know, you hear these religious people, and they're always talking about sinners. Well, sin is an old English word which translated today simply means crime. So a sinner is a criminal, and a sin is a crime. In fact, the scripture explains that in, well, I think it's 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. And it actually explains it. It says, sin is the transgression of the law. Well, transgression simply means a violation of, breaking of. So the Bible is a law book. It deals with law. And God required that everybody get a legal education. He wanted everybody to go to the Harvard Law School and find out which end was up so that instead of just being petty criminals, we could be the real deal and we could be real criminals, lawyers. That's right. God wanted everybody in the world to be a lawyer. Although he never had a good word for a lawyer, we wouldn't need any lawyers if everybody in the world knew what the law was. What would we need a lawyer for? They're just there to explain the law to us and make a profit from it. Now, what if everybody obeyed all the laws all the time? Well, an economic collapse would occur. Our economy is predicated upon crime. Banking is a criminal institution. If you eliminated banking from our economy, we'd have an economic collapse. Insurance is a crime. If we eliminated insurance from our economy, it would collapse. So, you know, whether we like it or not, our economy, our livelihood, our way of life is predicated upon crime. Now, the tragedy of all of this for you and me is that there's no such thing as a crime without a penalty. I know it, and it's bad news, but hey, I didn't write it. So you can't have crime without a penalty. So the guy that wrote up the criminal book, the crime book, that is the book on law, the Bible, the creator of the universe, he wrote up these laws. There's 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. They're organized into 133 subjects. Just like the U.S. Code is made up of 2.5 million laws that are organized into 50 subjects, 50 titles, they call them. Now, there's a systematic modality for looking this up, and so we call that code pleading, in case you never heard that before. And I've done that. I went ahead and I code pled out all the punishments in the scripture. There's 29 of them. I held there could be 30 or 35, and I didn't get them all, but I know about 29 of them, and that's probably about, you know, 25 more than your local preacher, that pulpit parrot, knows. Testing. next Sunday morning, you know, when you're walking out of church, say, by the way, pastor, could you tell me how many punishments there are in the Bible? Hey, can you tell me how many different acts or crimes are punishable by death? Hell, I told you that last time, didn't I? I'll bet you that sucker couldn't answer that question. I'll just come on, test me. He don't know. That's because he's a religious man. He don't have a clue. Now, these punishments, they include capital punishment. They include the death penalty, like being burned, stoned, or hanged. You know, if you get burned to death at the stake, that can do it. Now, did you know that the Bible provides for burning people at the stake? And you probably heard that Joan of Arc and a lot of people have been burned at the stake. Boy, that's unusual. We think of the Inquisition and the Catholic Church doing that. We don't think of God doing something like that, do we? But he did. He's got one crime in here that he really didn't like. And it really ticked him off. And he said, you know, I'm gonna come up with an unusual punishment for that. Now, the ordinary way to be executed is by stoning. And God has a reason for stoning. You see, sin cannot be forgiven without the shedding of blood. You have to have shed blood in order to have forgiveness of sin. And so, did you notice, just think about this for a minute, when we execute somebody in this country, except for Utah, now those Mormons out there in Utah, now they're a breed of a different cat, or a breed of a different stripe, but by and large, we give them lethal injection, no blood. We hang them, no blood. Well, unless you jerk their heads off. Now, that happens sometimes. You hang a guy, you drop him a little bit too far, just snaps his head right off, and then he'll bleed then. But ordinarily he doesn't when he hangs, and then we electrocute him and we gas him. Anything but shed their blood. Out in Utah, if they want to elect you, they can be shot. They shoot them. Now that'll produce some blood. And so I imagine that shooting somebody might take the place of stoning. It's stoning by a lead rock, I guess, is what you'd call that. And I don't know how that'd come up when you go to test that as a matter of law, but let's try this. When you get your pen and paper out there, you can burn them. That's Leviticus 20, verse 14. You can stone them. That's Deuteronomy 22, verses 23 and 24. You can hang them, according to Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 through 23. Now, there's a number of examples and other scriptures that identify these modalities, but I'll just give you one, each one. If you want to look up the rest of them, that's another little project for you. Now, on this burning over here, there's only one classification of crime. If you're a priest's daughter and you play the harlot in your father's house, the penalty is to be burned at the stake. Burned at the stake. So for all you good Catholics out there that were burning people at the stake, you know, for anything other than that crime, that in itself is a crime. That in itself is a crime. Now, oftentimes religious people, in their zeal to please God, will go out and break the law in order to accomplish that. There was a couple of guys down in Texas, and they had a fellow down there who's a sodomite, and the penalty for sodomy is death, and so they took this guy, tied him onto the back of their pickup, and drug him to death. Now, it is true that sodomites face the death penalty. That is true. But never under any circumstances would a sodomite be drugged to death behind a pickup. That's not the way to kill him. And if you kill him that way, then there's a law that comes into play that calls for an eye, tooth for tooth, wound for wound, a stripe for stripe. And so the two guys that killed this guy by dragging him to death, now, of course, they are entitled to be executed also, and the state isn't going to do that to them. They're going to shoot him up with lethal injection, say. They won't shed their blood. But God, you know, he's got a great sense of humor. He says, well, since you drug those guys to death, then the punishment that you get is we drag you to death. So they should be hung on the back of a county sheriff's pickup and just drugged until they fall off in little pieces and hunks alongside the road for the country. Now, we're not going to do that, and I didn't want to spoil your day or anything like that. I just wanted to point out to you that this God, this creator here, he's got a great sense of humor and a great sense of justice. And I think you're going to appreciate his sense of justice as we progress along here. So he's got one classification. I think he figures it like this. If there's any woman in the country that ought to know that sexual impropriety is against the law, it's a priest's daughter. The daughter of the priest ought to know that it's against the law. Priests could only marry virgins. They could not marry divorced women. And the priest's daughter over here should be pretty well versed in the scripture and in the law. It should be. And if she goes out and plays the whore in her father's house, then the penalty is to be burned at the stake. Now, for ordinary criminals, we just stone you to death for all manner of crime. Now, once in a while, we might want to hang you, like Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 through 23, or Joshua 10, verse 26. And 2 Samuel 4:12. There are a couple, three exceptions to the rule over here, and you can take a guy out and string him up. But do you remember back in the olden days here in the United States when we caught a horse thief, we'd take him out and hang him, take him out and string him up? Oh, no, no, no. Now, first of all, the penalty for stealing isn't death, unless you do it at night. Now, if you're stealing this horse at night, and then we killed you, now that's okay. But we wouldn't take you out and hang you at night, and that's because if we caught you, then we know who you are, don't we? And if we know who you are, then the penalty for theft is restitution, except for one category of crime. There's one category that calls for death, and it's called usury. So the bankers who charge usury are thieves. And then they face the death penalty for their theft on one classification of theft only, and that's usury. Stealing horses doesn't qualify for the death penalty. Stealing automobiles doesn't qualify for the death penalty. Qualifies for restitution. And there's a restitution program in here. Now, you could get scourged in Leviticus 19, verse 20. Scourged, that means that we're going to take you out and whip you. There are some things, some acts that you could do that would get you whipped, get you beat. That's Leviticus 19, verse 20. You could get excommunicated. That's in Exodus 20, verse 17. You could get cut off from the congregation, which in Utah could be pretty damn serious. For instance, they got a county there called Franklin County, 96% Mormon. Now, if you were in Franklin County and you were a Mormon and you got excommunicated, that'd just about do you in. Because from that point on, people won't do business with you. They won't buy from you. They'll sell to you. They won't buy from you. So you can spend your money with them, but they aren't going to spend their money with you, so that means that slowly but surely they're going to strangle you. So excommunication was pretty serious business. That means we'll sell to you, partner, but we won't buy from you. And that's what they're proposing. You know, down in Arizona, a lot of people, you know, they said, hey, let's put an embargo on Arizona. Let's stop buying products from Arizona. And that could get pretty serious. We'll sell to you, but we won't buy from you. So that's what excommunicated is all about. Now, number six calls for cutting off your hand. Now, over in Muslim countries, they do that. I don't know if they do it in all Muslim countries, but they do it in Saudi Arabia. And then I had a student in here one time back in 78. He was over in Saudi Arabia working for Aramco, and he said he actually saw that done. A guy stole over there, and they don't like thieves. They got a punishment for it. They cut your hand off. And I guess if you do it twice, it'll be more difficult for you to steal the third time. But anyway, that's in Deuteronomy 25, verse 12. We cut off your hand. But in this case, God does not prescribe the cutting off of your hand for theft. Muslims do that, but that's against the law. You can't cut a thief's hand off for theft. That's not what God prescribes. But what he prescribes is the cutting off of your hand. If you're a female and you have grabbed a man by his testicles, and we cut off your hand. And that's how valuable men's testicles are. Get your hand cut off, ladies. Now, of course, if a man did that, we'd cut his hand off too. But it gives a little story in there in Deuteronomy 25, verse 12, as to how that might come down. Number 7 says that you will die childless. In Leviticus 20, verse 21, there's a type of sex crime. So if you see somebody and they're married and they don't have any children, they're infertile. You ever ask the question, gee, I wonder why those people are infertile? It could be that they committed this particular kind of sex crime over here described in Leviticus 20, verse 21. And so as a result of that, God seals them up. They don't have any children. They die childless. That's the punishment. That's the penalty. Number 8, you get paid back the same as you did to him. Deuteronomy 19, verses 16 through 21, and it calls for the same as you did to him. There's another one down here. I'll skip ahead a little bit to number 29. In Numbers chapter 33, verses 54 through 56, I might want to write that down. What I thought to do to them is what I'm going to do to you. So God comes along and he says, now here's what I want you to do. And he gives us some instructions. He says, now, for instance, you got these sodomites out here, and I want you to take them out and stone them to death. Now, here in America, this is an enlightened society. We are enlightened here. And we have recognized the error that God has made in making this law. And so, fortunately for all the sodomites, we have fixed God's mistake. For some of you people out there, maybe you didn't know this, but sometimes God makes mistakes. In fact, the more modern and the more enlightened we become, the more mistakes we have been able to find God making. And thank God for Congress and the President and the Democrats and Republicans that we can legislate, make our own laws, and fix all these mistakes that God has made. Isn't that special? All right. So God said, what I thought to do to them is what I'm going to do to you. You better hope this guy don't ever show up on our doorstep. Because, for instance, he told us now to execute these sodomites. We didn't do that, and we're not going to. So he says, okay, then what I thought to do to them and gave you instruction, since you didn't carry it out, that's what I will do to you. So when this punishment comes down, when this great tribulation comes down upon us, this economic collapse will ultimately degenerate into war, and then these wars are going to degenerate into savagery. And that's what happened in World War II. You know, the Germans, they tried to firebomb London, and they failed. And the British didn't forget that. So about February of 1945, they firebombed Dresden, and the English didn't fail. They learned from the German failure in 1940. They said, oh, the Germans could have succeeded in firebombing London, but they didn't quite get the critical max going here. So what we're going to do is we'll go test this over in Dresden. Oh, God, it worked like a shot. Then after they learned from Dresden, they went over to Tokyo. Yeah, we killed a whole lot more Japs in those firebombing raids than we ever did with nuclear weapons. The nukes were good. Don't get me wrong. The nukes are good. But it's just that we didn't use enough of those nukes to kill as many as we did with the firebombing, because we learned that from the Germans. So you Germans over there then became the proximate cause of your own injury. So you had this evil thought in your mind that you're going to firebomb these English guys over here, and you didn't quite get the job done. So the English guys turned around and said, okay, let's see if we can take a page out of the German book in Dresden, which they did. Then they turned around and said, okay, well, you Japs are in here with the Germans, and so now we're going to do this to you. And that's just taking a page right out of God's own book here in Numbers 33, verses 53 through 56, which is similar to, same as you did to him. So when you find somebody that's done something, like you drug this guy to death behind your pickup, you did what? Okay. Well, since that's what you did to him, then that's what we're going to do to you. And then God says, now, you need to do this and actually carry it out a few times so that people can actually see that you mean business. For instance, you know, when you've got juvenile delinquents, and you take the juvies over here, and you take them into Times Square. That's a good place, that Times Square. A lot of people go there. You bring in a dump truck full of rocks, and you dump it out in the middle of the street. And you tie this guy up to a telephone post over there, and then you start rocking him a little bit. So, you know, 15, 16-year-old punk kids shooting people off the street corners. You take them out, and then you just tell the rest of the kids in PS 235, and you say, hey, do you see that dude down there in Times Square that we stoned to death? Okay. Now, if you do that, if you curse your parents, if you slap your mama, you know, you want to play sodomite, you know, something like that, that's what we're going to do to you. So shape up. And you'd find a whole lot less juvenile delinquency, I guarantee you. When I was a kid, we didn't have any juvenile delinquents because parents didn't allow it. Today, people, you know, they're a lot more liberal today. All right, we're going to cut off your hand. We're going to die childless. And see, I got burned, stoned, hanged, scourged, excommunicated. Cut off your hand, die childless, same as you did to him. And then what I thought to do to them in the Numbers 33, verses 53 through 56. All right, now number 9 calls for a forced marriage. You ever heard of a shotgun wedding or a shotgun marriage? Yep, came right out of the Bible. This is God himself. He says, here's what we're going to do. It's in Deuteronomy 22, verse 29. If a man goes out and has sexual relations with a female, well, then he has to marry her. Now, normally we wait until she misses her period, and then we go to the altar, but it's just as soon as they have sexual relations is the critical point. And, you know, it happens quite often, but then, you know, sexual relations belongs in marriage, and so God requires that, and he says, you know, there's no such thing on planet Earth as sexual relations outside of marriage without a penalty. So the first penalty that comes along is this forced marriage. Then, if you can't learn from that, then we've got alimony, child support, juvenile delinquency, and stoning. And we've got other means to enforce our ends. Forced marriage, number 9. Number 10 calls for national captivity. National captivity is a punishment that God himself imposes. Now, sometimes nations or countries do that. Now, in 1945, at the end of World War II, we Americans demanded of the Germans unconditional surrender. And under ordinary circumstances, when you have a war and you get tired of fighting after a while, then you have a negotiated settlement. And that's what they're doing over in Afghanistan right now. See, they're trying to figure out a way that we can have a negotiated settlement. We got real upset with the Taliban, and then we had to go to war. And now that we've been at war for 10 years and can't whip them, now we got to go over and talk to them and see if we can't get them and us, you know, to sit down and figure out, well, is there some common ground by which we can terminate this fighting over here? But in World War II, we demanded unconditional surrender. And so what that does is that requires that this nation over here put down their arms, and we're going to take them into national captivity. That's what we did to the Japanese and what we did to the Germans. Unconditional surrender. All right, well, that's national captivity. Well, now the United States of America, Canada, and Australia are going to go into national captivity. And that's because of our Sabbath breaking. Sabbath breaking causes national captivity. Don't get too concerned about it. We've been down this road before. We've been in national captivity many, many times. We have been in national captivity a lot longer than we have been free. Now, freedom requires responsibility, and God has instructed us and said, now listen, I'm going to give you your freedom, and then I want you to practice my law, and I'm going to give you these 33 articulable benefits, or 32 benefits, and if you do that, everything's going to be fine. And we said, no, we're not going to do that. And so God said, well, okay, you know, no hard feeling. And it's just the terms and conditions of the deal. And so if you don't do it, well, then here's what I'm going to do to you. And then you can read all about it. You know, he used to say, you know, when I was a paper boy, you know, on both times, you know, and then announce the story, you know, national captivity coming, read all about it. Page one. Paul Harvey used to do that. And then he'd say, page two, national captivity. That's Leviticus 26, verse 34, and Deuteronomy 28, verse 68. Got to write that one down. That's a heavy duty one. Leviticus 26, verse 34, and Deuteronomy 28, verse 68. See, you don't get killed. You Germans over there, you know, when we came over there and took over your country, we didn't kill you. We just put you to work. Straightened you out, tuned you up, and humbled you a little bit. Now, next one, number 11 over here, is called loss of blessings. And that's Leviticus 26, verses 14 through 16, and Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. Here again, it's Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, those two penal clause chapters. So national captivity is number 10, and then the loss of your blessings is number 11. Now, remember, you got 32 of these articulable benefits. 32. And so God says, well, now I'm going to give you your movie money, I'm going to give you your allowance, and then I'm going to take you hunting on Sunday. That's what my daddy used to do. Give you your movie money, 4 bits. Give you your allowance, $2, and then I'll take you shooting on Sunday. That's if you do all of your chores, do all of your work. And so on those rare occasions when I did all of my work, my daddy, he'd take Sunday off and give me my allowance and movie money. And then when I didn't do that, then he would withhold my allowance, movie money. We wouldn't go shooting, and I could spend Saturday and Sunday doing what I was supposed to do Monday through Friday. So what it boiled down to, I didn't get my blessings, and I did have to do all of my work. And on top of that, I got whipped, and so it hurt bad. You had to take up your whole weekend doing your chores, and you didn't get any of your benefits. And so one day I woke up, and I said, hell, I might as well do these chores as distasteful as they are. Then I get my benefits, and then I don't get hurt. So even at age 10 or 11, you know, kid can learn. And adults can learn, too. It's just that we have to go through this national captivity thing in order to learn. We know what a kid can learn at age 10. By the time we get to be 50, you know, we got to go through a national captivity to learn the same thing. Sit down, shut up, fold your hands, and do what you're told. All right, so now, number 12, there's another way that you punish people, and this is pretty common. We do this every day. Fines. You know, the judge takes you in, you were speeding, you ran the stop sign or something like that. Ranger Rick comes out, gives you a ticket, you take it into the judge, he gives you a fine. Well, God's got a fine system also. Where the hell did you think Ranger Rick learned that trick? And they learned it from God, learned it from Moses. You'll see that in Deuteronomy 22, verses 13 through 21. So the judges will lay a fine on you, that's what they'll do. Number 13 calls for restitution. Restitution. That means you got to pay back everything that you stole. You got to pay for everything that you wrecked or destroyed. Now, there's four scriptures on this one, so get all four of these down because this restitution takes different form. In Exodus 22, verse 14. Exodus 22, 14. Then Exodus 21:19, Exodus 21, verse 22, and Exodus 21:30. So it's in Exodus 21 and 22. Now, this is right in the middle of the Old Covenant contract. Remember I told you about this contract? Here, see if you can remember this or write it down. We have a contract with our God, our Creator. He tendered the offer at Mount Sinai from up on top of the mountain. The people said, all that the Eternal has said, we'll do and be obedient. And the time frame is forever. And the parties are the contract makers and the heirs and signs forever. So now, if you're an Israelite, if you're somebody who was born in, around, or comes from Scandinavia, you know, Denmark, Sweden, Finland, and then Norway. If you're from the continent, such as Germany, Belgium, Luxembourg, France, or Switzerland, or Northern Italy, or Spain, or England, Ireland, Wales, Scotland, Iceland, Canada, Australia, South Africa, and New Zealand. You are an Israelite, you know, assuming that you're a white Anglo-Saxon male, a wasp, they call them wasps. And as a result of that, you're an heir and a sign forever, and as a result of that, you're bound to the terms and conditions of the contract. And even though you weren't there 84 generations ago to make it, you're still bound to it, like it or not. It's kind of like being bound to the Constitution of the United States. And you didn't attend the Constitutional Convention. You didn't sign the Declaration of Independence. But you found yourself born here in the United States of America, and therefore you're an American citizen, and as a result of that, you're bound to our Constitution and the laws of the United States. See how that works? It's called an adhesion contract. Well, anyway, when we're dealing with this thing of restitution, then what that means is that you have to pay for every crime you commit. Every theft that you perform, you've got to pay for that. And that's known as strict liability. Now, we don't like that here in this country, so that's why we buy insurance. We don't want to be responsible for our actions. So we buy insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, auto insurance, and so on down the line. All right, restitution. Now, the restitution is 2 times, 4 times, 5 times, or 7 times the amount of the theft. So if you steal a little bit, that's called a misdemeanor. You got to pay it back. That is, you give back what you stole plus the same amount. But if you stole a car and you parted it out, then you got to pay the car back plus 4 more. That's a felony. We call that grand theft. And that's 2, that's 4. Well, 4 times if it's a misdemeanor, 5 times if it's a felony. And then if you're stealing food, then you got to pay back 7 times. You know, people, they think stealing food's all right. God didn't think so. And so he put on a little bit more penalty. So if you steal my car, or if you steal my lawnmower, that can be you pay back what you stole plus 1, you pay back what you stole plus 4, you pay back what you stole plus 5. But if you steal my calf because you're hungry, you got to pay me back 7 to 1. Yeah, 7 to 1. All right, now we're halfway point here. Let me remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and a biblical law from a scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. And the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated every week and has our radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click on to the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then we invite you to go to our website, georgegordon.org, and then you can download our free general law CD package there on our archives page, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're looking at the 29 punishments that are meted out here in the Old Testament. Actually, they're meted out in the New Testament also. The Old and New Testament go hand in hand. Jesus made an observation one time. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said that in Matthew 4, verse 4. He also repeated in Luke 4, verse 4. And the day he made that statement, not a word of the New Testament had yet been written. So the only scripture available were the 39 books of the Old Testament. So he included the 39 books of the Old Testament without making reference to the New. Now, isn't that just special? That's for all you pulpit parrots out there. They're telling all these people out there that the Old Testament is abolished and nailed to the cross with Jesus and taken out of the way so that people don't have to obey it anymore. Let's take a look at a couple more. Number 13 calls for sore sickness, and so we've got 4 in a row here. Sore sickness, disease, plague, and swelled belly. These are sicknesses and diseases, and they come in 4 different forms. Sore sickness, that's Deuteronomy 28, verse 59. Then there's just simple disease. That's Deuteronomy 28, verse 60. Then we have plague in Deuteronomy 28, verse 61. And then an unusual one here called a swelled belly in Numbers 5, verses 11 through 31. In each one of these now, taken of and by themselves, there's a different degree of punishment that comes from each one. Now, a sore sickness is something like cancer that takes you years to die. And another sore sickness is one called Lou Gehrig's disease. Oh, my God. I can think of 100 ways to die better than Lou Gehrig's disease. Boy, that's a tough one. So God says, you know, depending upon how bad you are, you know, I've got special ways to punish people. Sore sickness is one of them. Then disease, just, you know, ordinary, everyday, garden variety disease, like E. coli from a hamburger from Jack in the Box. Then there's plague. Now, plague, that's an unusual one. That's where thousands of people, sometimes millions of people, die in an outbreak. That's so that it terrorizes the whole population, like polio did back in the 20s and 30s and 40s, like bubonic plague did back in the 14th century. Plague. Now, the swelled belly, that's a specialized, very, very specialized disease or medical problem, which deals with the jealousy statute. It deals with some guy, or it could be some woman, who thinks that their mate is cheating on them. Cheating, practicing adultery. And you want to find out, are they practicing adultery or not? And so there's a methodology for accomplishing that goal in Numbers 5, verses 11 through 31, which causes a swelled belly. Now, there's several others here that go hand in hand. Number 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24, and 25. So from 18 to 25, they're all different, but they run very similar to one another. And you'll find those here in Exodus 21, verse 24, through Exodus 21, 26, no, 20, 25. 20, it's, excuse me, Exodus 21, verses 22, 23, 24, and 25. It calls for an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, hand for hand, life for life, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, and stripe for stripe. Now, that's what we call poetic justice. There was a lady, she was an attorney for the Department of Labor up in Boise, and then she was going to a Christmas party, and she got drunk. And then on her way home, she passed out, ran off the road, and hit two little kids and killed them. But it was okay. I mean, don't think that there was something wrong here. This was killing two kids, but it was 100% legal. And that's because this lady had a driver's license. Her car was registered. It was fully inspected and fully insured, which doesn't do anything for the two children. They're still just as dead as popcorn farts. But the moral to the story is, though, that this lawyer, being a lawyer and all, has obeyed all of the laws. Driver's license, registration, proof of insurance. She's got an inspection sticker. So this lady was fined $1,000. Her driver's license was suspended for 1 year, and she had to do 200 hours of community service. That was her penalty. In case you didn't get that down, she was fined $1,000. Remember that fine up here? And then she had to pay 200 hours of restitution in the form of community service. And they took her driving license away from her for 1 year. Now, how did that address the needs of the family, who now have two dead children, which cost about $5,000 apiece to bury? That's $10,000. Oh, and then they went into negotiations with the insurance company, and they had to sue the insurance company to get a settlement. And then it was settled out of court, so we don't know what they got paid. Now, let me show you what happens under the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law, this is the law of God now, is aimed at liberty. It's called the perfect law of liberty. So there's no speed limit. And if you want to drive drunk, it's okay. God doesn't care if people drive drunk. God cares that people are responsible. He thinks that sober people who kill kids need to pay just like drunk people who kill kids. So the rule of law is very simple. You need to be prepared to buy every kid you kill. That's all. So if you want to drive through the school zone at 75, that's fine. Just be prepared to buy every kid you kill. Now, the penalty is applied by the parents. The parents apply the penalty. And the penalty calls for eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, life for life. So this lady killed these two little kids, and so what's the penalty? Well, life for life. So the lady has to forfeit her life. Not $1,000 and 200 hours of community service. You know, you decided you wanted a drink, lady, and you passed out drunk and you killed two kids. So we got to take life for life. Now, there's a provision in here for this lady to ransom her life from the parents. So she could come up to the parents and say, well, look, killing me will simply put three gravestones in line, your two children and me. But I would like to ransom my life. I will pay you $100,000 each for these two children. And the parents could consider that, and they could say, no, we don't think that $100,000 is near enough. We don't think that's a fitting penalty for a child's life. And so the lawyer might say, well, how much do you think? And they might say, well, we think $500,000 for each one. And then the lawyer might say, well, I think that's too much. I'll give you $350,000. And then the parents could say, well, I think we'll just stone you to death then. See how simple this is? this is pretty good. Now, fortunately for this lady, she didn't have to meet these parents. She didn't have to, you know, these parents, they have to do business with the insurance company. We're not going to deal justice. We're not going to deal life for life here. The insurance company isn't even going to pay $100,000. They'll be lucky if they get those kids buried. Now, God, on the other hand, he's got a little different take on this. He says, hey, listen, I want everybody to be responsible for his actions. In order to get people to be responsible for their actions, I think that dealing with the bereaved parents is more likely to affect justice than dealing with an insurance company, you know, the claims agent. So I just thought I'd throw that one out there and tell you about that one. That's kind of a wild one, isn't it? Now, in the event that this lady had an accident and maybe she injured these children or one of them and cut his foot off in the wreck. Well, okay, lady, so we're going to cut your foot off. You know, if you were to take these mad mothers against drunk drivers, you know, MADD, mothers against drunk drivers. It's MADD, mothers against drunk drivers. You know, what if we applied this law to drunk driving? Instead of dicking around with these guys or these people, women drunk drive drunk too, but, you know, instead of dicking around, if they drive drunk and they don't cause any damage, we leave them alone. I mean, why would you want to bother some guy that drove home drunk? But if he kills your daughter, then we take him out and we kill him. Take him out. We don't fine him. We don't lock him up for 10 years. Look what happens when you lock a guy up. It costs you $40,000 a year to store him there. Not only have you lost your child, but now you got to fine yourself $40,000 to store this guy in prison. Why should you pay a penalty to lock this jerk up in jail after he killed your kid? What the hell kind of sense does that make? Well, I guess it makes sense for weak-minded people who are unable to execute justice. You know, you want justice. Well, by God, here's justice. You killed my kid, and by God, we're going to kill you. Or you got to pay me. You know, how much is your kid worth? Now, in some cases, some people would say, I'm not in this for the money. I want to see your gravestone next to my dead child. Well, okay. Now, every drunk then has to start thinking, you know, I have to buy every kid I kill. I have to pay with my own life. I think you'd have a whole lot less drunk driving. Well, I know you would, because here's what's going to happen in the final analysis. Number one, we are going to kill every drunk driver who kills somebody else. Over time, we will kill every drunk, won't we? Or the survivors will repent and stop driving drunk. That's simple enough, isn't it? All right. Now, you've got this eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, life for life, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, and stripe for stripe. Number 26. If you have a slave and you slap the slave up alongside the head and knock out his tooth, or you blind him, you have to release him for his eye's sake or for his tooth's sake. See how simple that is? So that's the law against oppressing your bondservants or your servants or your slaves. And slavery is not against the law. So in case you were thinking that slavery was some kind of a crime in and of and by itself, no. Kidnapping is against the law. Kidnapping those black people from Africa and bringing them over here, that was the crime. And slavery is not a crime, it's a social status. Social status. It's like being a bondservant, a soldier, or an individual. There are 24 of these statuses of persons. You know, you can be in some status, and then the lowest is a criminal, and the highest is an individual, and everybody falls somewhere in between. So this Exodus 21, verses 26 and 27, deals with how we deal with your slaves. Now, I suppose that number 27 calls for the city of refuge. That's Exodus 21, verse 13. City of refuge. You ever heard that? Yeah, the city of refuge is where you deal with people that commit manslaughter. You're driving down the road, and you've got bald tires on your car. Your car hydroplanes, crosses the center line, hits somebody, and kills them. You're not drunk. You didn't mean to kill them. It's almost an act of God, except that maybe if you'd have had better tires on your car, that wouldn't have happened. And so in a case like that, we call it an act of God. And so we appoint a city of refuge, and you have to flee to that city, and you can't leave it. It's kind of a punishment. It's where you're going to have to leave where you live in Philadelphia, and you're going to have to journey to a far, far land called New York or some other city which is designated as the city of refuge. That's where you're going to have to live until the high priest dies. In this case, it's the high priest. That's the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Roberts, who isn't all that old and may be there for 30 years. You may have a 30-year sentence there. But we don't call for the death penalty. We're not going to do that for an act of God. Okay, now the final solution. Remember, there was a guy named Adolf Hitler, and he had this thing he called the final solution for the Jews. God has a final solution. Final solution. It's called the lake of fire. And you can read about that in Revelation 20, verses 13 through 15. The city of refuge is in Exodus 21, 13. And then we've got this last one over here, the lake of fire, in Revelation 20, verses 13 through 15. There's three resurrections. You got the better resurrection coming up. That's the first. Then you got the general resurrection called the Great White Throne Judgment. That's number two. And then you've got the third resurrection, which is called the final solution, the lake of fire. People that can't make it in the first and second resurrections, you know, people that are repeat offenders, people that just can't practice the Ten Commandments and the Sabbaths and Jubilees and Land Sabbaths and so on, got to have a place for them. And so what you do is you put them into the lake of fire and you burn them up and convert them to ashes, just like you do when you cremate a cadaver. And then in Malachi 4, verse 3, he says, the ashes of the wicked shall be under the feet of the righteous. And that's called death. That's not eternal life in another place. That's not an immortal soul. That's death. D-E-D. Hey, I'm out of time. Let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. And The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.